I was just saying that we have an upcoming and budding evangelist in our midst. Like, so he's been doing a good job. And there have been good things that have happened there. I spoke to Julius. They were thrilled to have the team there. And they were saying that Ruby wants to do a foundation course with some of the women over there. And they're also, the team came back and said they hope that they would continue to have the children's meeting, the children's club or whatever. So that will continue to happen. So those are good things. So we praise God for that. Okay. We want to look at God's word this evening. We'll just pray. Father, we just want to thank you for your presence here, Lord. And Lord, it's a joy to learn from your word. It's a joy to know you through your word, Lord Jesus. Lord, it's such a learning experience, Lord, to look at the lives of individuals, Lord, to look at, Lord, what has happened, Lord, in the past years, Lord, which is a learning experience for us, Lord. And this evening, we want to pray, Father, that you would speak to us, Lord. This evening, Lord, that we would be able to look into our hearts, Lord, and see, Lord, what are the areas that we need to change, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we invite you here in our midst, because you are our teacher, you are our counselor, Lord. And we pray, Father God, that, Lord, you would draw us closer to the heart of God the Father, Lord. We want to commit ourselves into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay. Our theme actually, or the vision for the whole year is open heart and an open home will open the city. Okay. So it starts from our individual hearts and it moves on to our home. And then, like, we will be able to see our lives, the city being changed and influenced for God. So it all begins with the heart. It all begins with the heart. I was thinking that 14 years back, I opened my heart to my wife and everything got changed. You know, though over the past years, like, I've got wounded many times. In Hindi, we say ghayal, no? But I think over the years, like, my heart has become a better heart, okay? So I've come to the conclusion, or I'm just learning, and I know that an open heart helps you to have a better heart, you know? Provided you give your heart to the right person, no? Some of us, young people, maybe you have already given your heart to somebody else. So instead of opening our hearts, we have given our hearts. So in the end, we'll have some ministry time so that we'll get our hearts back. And we will open our hearts to the right people. Anyway, open heart can touch our lives and the changes can begin from our hearts. Now, I just want to say that how important, like, the involvement from our hearts is in our lives. And so God has put good things in our heart. And then if we, you know, if we allow God to bring out those good things, we will be able to see God's blessing and favor upon our lives, you know, and like people around us also. But the heart has the potential to get corrupted also. So we need to guard our hearts. I remember that when I was young, till my sixth standard, I had a close friend of mine. And we would do things together. We would go to school together. We would play together. And and we would have these sports events in schools. And so one such, like, the sports season was coming up. And so I would not enroll myself for any of these events, because my father was very strict, so I was scared to ask him for anything. At that time, it was 50 paise per event, and you could participate in 5 events. You know, I was scared. Not that, like, he had said no, but I was scared, too scared to ask him. And so one day, as we were walking to school, like, this friend of mine said, "Why don't you participate in these events? You're good in sports," because we played together. I loved sports. So he said, "Why don't you participate in this?" I said, "I'm too scared to ask my father." He said, "Why don't you ask your father?" So, I went back home that evening and asked my Father, can I participate in the sports event? He said, participate in all five. You know, so I went back, enrolled myself, you know, and I enjoyed playing the games. I saw something change as I looked into my heart and saw that that was something that I really loved to do. I still remember a sack race. You know, I remember the sack race, like we were five of us, and then we were going through the heats of the sack race, and the condition to qualify for the finals in what was St. Xavier's ground here in Parade was that you need to be first. Okay, you need to be first. And so here I was in the sack race hopping, and I had a very bad start. You know, and people had moved ahead of me. You know, and there were a couple of people ahead of me, and we had to be first to qualify. You know, so as I hopped along, there were two other people, and I thought like I've lost it. You know? But then the person who was ahead of me, he stumbled, and I slowly crossed. You know? But as I crossed him, there was another guy ahead of me, and he was just 25 yards short of the finish line. You know, and I thought, you know, I should just, you know, just take the sack away and just walk off, because he was just 25 yards away. You know, I thought of just giving up. But I can still remember my Marathi teacher over there, and she's shouting at me saying, Joseph, slow and steady wins the race. Slow and steady wins the race. So I didn't feel like, you know, walking out of my sack. I just hopped along and hopped along. And as I came closer and closer to him, and as he came about 10 yards closer to the finish line, he fell. Not that I wanted him to fall. But I crossed him and I qualified for that race. And then just went on for the finals. I remember some of the races, like the obstacle race, where people I had to compete with, you know, the higher standards and huge boys, like, and I stood third, but I was glad. I still remember my history teacher, who was a good comparer, and she would compare for all these sports even, and she would say, here, ladies and gentlemen, we see these boys standing, and these boys are boys who are going to overcome many obstacles in their lives. Give them a big hand. I still remember that. It completely changed when I did something that I loved deep down from within. I saw that it brought satisfaction and fulfillment in my life. It brought confidence to excel and succeed. It taught me how to persevere. It taught me to get up when I fail. It helped me to work together in a team. It taught me to enjoy life. I really enjoyed the 31st games. So we went on till about 5:15 in the morning. So over the years, like, I had to organize the games, but for the last 2 years, I've been enjoying playing the games. And I really enjoyed playing the games. And it really taught me something. So I'm glad that I had a friend who was with me, and he said, that's something that you love to do. That's something that God has put in your heart, in your life, and you need to explore that and see how God can change our lives. And as I was just thinking about the heart, that's so crucial. Our heart has the potential to do good, you know, and it can be, if it's used for God, we will see the favor and the blessing of God. But it has the potential to be corrupted also. Okay. And completely lead us to a point of frustration and maybe sometimes like destruction of our lives. Today, we want to look at like some of the conditions of the heart. And we want to look at the story from Matthew 13 about the sower. And before I just go into that, I'll just do a short recap of what Stanley did for us on the first week of the open heart. He said that he spoke on guarding your hearts, and he said these are some of the crucial things that it will be helpful to guard our hearts. We need to ask God's help to purify our hearts. We need to ask God's help to be single-minded. We need to ask God for good friends. Ask God to show what you value the most. Ask God to help you to fall in love with His Word, and ask God to change your heart. And you will see that everything. And we need God's help. For everything, we need God's help. His input into our lives. He has the transforming power in our lives. And this evening, we want to look at like some of the different types of hearts that we can have. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 13, 1 to 9. And I'll read 1 to 9. And again, I'll take it up from 18 to 23. So Matthew chapter 13, 1 to 9 and 18 to 23. So if you have your Bibles, you can just turn to that, and I'll read that for us. Matthew chapter 13, it says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him
that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Listen, let him hear. And then I'll take it on from verse 19. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in his heart. This is a seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among thorns is a man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is a man who hears the word and understands it. He produced a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Okay, we will look at now. These soils speak about hearts, different hearts. And today we want to look at four types of hearts, and we want to examine our heart. And the first type of heart is the stony heart. Okay, the stony heart, or a hard heart. Okay. And it says in verse 4 that as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And when and verse 19 says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is seed sown along the path. You know? And I imagine about the seed sown along the path. And suppose like we think about a lush green field, very good vegetation, very fertile land. You see a lot of trees, you see flowers, like good vegetation. Everything's fine. The land is good and fertile. But the problem is like there's no place to cross over to the other side of the field. And so suppose if there's no way to just cross over, so then what someone would do is they would walk across the field. They'd walk across the field. And so as they walk across the field, they trample over the vegetation, you know, in that particular path. And as they walk day in, day out, like every day, that patch, you know, becomes dry. And the plants there go dead. Okay, so and that patch becomes hard over there. And so then a path is created which is hard over there. Now it depends how many people cross the field at a time. If they go one after the other, you know, along a single file, then you will see it's a narrow path. But if there are few others who are crossing, then you see that this hard path that is there, this dead patch that is there, a narrow path that's there, it'll begin to become wider and wider and wider. And so you will have, if they do not guard the field, you will have more and more areas of the field which have become redundant or useless or dry and hard. Okay? If they don't guard that field well. And that's the case that happens in our lives also. So this is a fertile land, a fertile place, fertile soil. Everything is fine. But because a small patch is allowed, it has the potential to become wide and so cover the entire field. And that's the same case with our hearts also. If we continue, if God is saying us, telling us something, if we continue in disobedience or we move away from the will of God, and so you see that a small patch becomes hard in our hearts. And if we are not careful and sensitive to guard that area, come back to God, you know, and come give that area back to God, you will see that area will become wider and wider, you know, and slowly our heart has the potential to become hard. The process may be slow. We may not We may not suddenly recognize that. It may come in a very subtle way, but it is sure and it is a complete way. Little by little, a fertile, a good heart has the potential to become a hard heart. And we need to be careful. Actually, when I was just looking at the Bible, and when the Bible speaks about people who had a hard heart, you know, some things came out very clear and it was quite shocking. It says that King Pharaoh, he had a hard heart. Though it says the Lord hardened his heart, no, we cannot blame God that he hardened Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh's heart was already hard. Okay, he made it a little more worse so that, you know, God's glory will be seen. So that's it. But Pharaoh and God was doing miracles. God was bringing these plagues upon the land of Egypt so that his people will be rescued. But Pharaoh was not able to recognize the hand of God and release the people. And so every time he would harden his heart. He would call his musicians so that they would undo what, you know, God had done. And so this is speaking about a similar instance. It says the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hard and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said. So Pharaoh's heart was hard. Then another passage in Ezekiel 28:1-2, it speaks about the ruler of Tyre. "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In the pride of your heart, you say, I am a God. I sit on the throne of a God in the heart of the seas, but you are a man and not a God, though you think you are as wise as a God." In the pride of your heart, speaking to the ruler of Tyre. Again, Daniel 5:20 speaks about King Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel is bringing the word of God and to him. But it says, "But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory." King Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, because he thought he was the exalted one. You know, everything was because of him. And he failed to give honor and glory to God. Again, speaking about Lucifer, Satan. It says in Ezekiel 28:17, Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings." Okay. Now, if you just see like these passages where the Bible mentions of people who had a hard heart, who had an arrogant heart, who had a proud heart, they were all people whom God had placed in position, who had power, who had authority, And maybe they began well, but little by little, as they began to grow, you know, in the influence that God had given them, pride, arrogance, hardness entered their hearts. And so the judgment of God came upon them. You know? And I want us to just look into our hearts. You know? Because, you know, what we have heard is true. Sometimes absolute power corrupts absolutely. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And we need to guard our hearts. I'm saying we may not become prime ministers or whatever, president or whatever, but God has given each one of us an area of influence. He's put us in a position of power and authority, even if we are housewives. You know, people who work in the house for us, he has given us authority over them. Even children who are under us, he has given us authority over them. But how do we govern? How do we look after? How do we relate to them? And we need to be careful. Because when we are in that place of influence, in that place of power and authority, little by little, our heart may be good, but if you're not sensitive, not careful, not humble enough, then that hardness can creep into our hearts. Arrogance can come into our hearts. Pride can come into our hearts. And our heart can become really hard as a stone. So we need to be people who will not misuse the authority that God has given us. We need to be firm when we have to delegate things and get things done from others. But there needs to be a balance where we need to be kind and compassionate and sensitive also. Otherwise, we will see God acting on their behalf against us. Because God resists the proud. He resists the proud. And so, we need to be careful. It may happen in a very subtle way, in a slow way. And so, sometimes we can be caught of God. But we need to continue to grow with a thankful heart. We need to grow in the thankful spirit, always having gratitude in our hearts and thanking God for where God has placed us and the things that God has done in our lives. You know, it is said about Sadhu Sundar Singh, an evangelist, and who mainly ministered to the people in Tibet, and he would travel the world around. And one man asked him, you know, sir, like you travel around the world and you get so much of honor. Doesn't that honor, you know, harm you in some way or the other? And Sadhu Sundar Singh responded to this guy and said, you know, when Jesus rode on the donkey and he entered Jerusalem and the people spread their cloaks on the ground and the people put palm leaves and branches on the ground, and as the donkey walked, what did the donkey think? Was that all for the donkey? If it had thought for the donkey, I mean, he would have lifted his legs and he would have got a thrashing maybe from the crowd. But the donkey knew that the cloak and the branches and the leaves, the welcome, the celebration was for the one who was on the donkey, not for the donkey. Okay? He said, when people give me honor, I know it is not for me, but it is for the God who works through me. God works through me. And we as people of God, we need to give gratitude, glory and honor to God. And when we receive praise, we are in that place of influence. We have come up. God has put us in that place to be a blessing to people, to bring God's love in that place, to bring God's heart in that place. And we need to be thankful and ask God each day for wisdom to govern, you know, His people. So we need to be careful. Otherwise, we will have a hard heart. Can we? So we see that, I just missed filling up those blanks. We see that they were people of power. They became proud. They resisted the work of God. And God resisted and punished them also. I mean, so those were the things that we see in the lives of these people. We saw Pharaoh, and we saw the king of Tyre. We saw Nebuchadnezzar, and we saw Lucifer also. These were their characteristics, and we need to be careful. Now, we can rate ourselves. I think, like, I have put a small marker over there. How hard are we? Okay? From the scale 1 to 10. So if you feel, I need to a lot of work in this area. So I think I'm around 6, 7. Okay? So you may feel, no. I think like I'm less than the halfway mark. I'm pretty okay. Maybe 4, 3. So you want to just check your heart and ask yourselves, how hard am I? How hard are we? So just go ahead, mark yourself. Don't show your neighbor. Let's be frank. Let's ask ourselves, you know, where do we stand in this area? How hard are we? Okay? So we can have a stony heart. Now the second heart is a shallow heart. A shallow heart. It says in verse 5, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. And Jesus says, the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. So shallow, a plant that grows in a very shallow place. Now some of us would have seen some plants grow on buildings. They're a big nuisance. No? So, and it just small sprout just comes in the stem, and then you try to pluck it off. Sometimes it just dries off on its own. So it cannot survive because it does not have the capacity to survive. No external ingredients to make it survive or grow as a plant. Sometimes it does survive and grow, it damages the building. Then we have to put some acid and call the BMC people and get it removed. And so we don't like that. I mean, that's not the right place for the plant to be there. So we remote. That's the same case. Like when we have a plant, when we have a heart that is shallow. I want us to just look at the story of Joash. You know, Joash in the Old Testament, he was also called Jehoash. You know, and it's really amazing to to look at the story of this man. Actually, Joash was a son of King Ahaziah. His grandfather was King Jehoram. And Jehoram had died. And what had happened that was that the entire family saw a tragedy that happened in their house, in their home. Because all the brothers were killed. All the people in the family were killed except Joash or Jehoash. He was just 1 year old. And he was saved by his stepmother and the high priest at that time, whose name was Jehoiada. And they hid this boy, who was 1 year old, in the temple in one of their bedrooms. And so his life was saved. Okay. So when he became seven, his grandmother, Athaliah, she wanted to take over the reins of the kingdom. You know, but she was killed, and Jehoiada proclaimed this boy as the king and said that he is the heir, and his life was saved, and he will be the rightful heir when he comes of age. So Jehoiada instructed and trained up Joash in the ways of God. You know? And when he was young, Jehoiada took charge. He brought a lot of changes in the kingdom of Judah. Jehoiada helped the people to make a covenant with God, and the king made a covenant with God, and all the evil activities, the worship to other idols, that was stopped. Things were demolished, and there was peace and harmony in the land of Judah in those times. So there was a revival, okay, when during the times of Joash when he was young. And so as he began to grow up, and when he was about 30 years old, the nation continued to prosper. And he himself, like guided by his own mentor, he himself brought about reforms. He repaired the temple. Okay, he brought about changes. There was peace in the entire land. So good things were happening, and the entire land was blessed. The kingdom was blessed. That's what it says in 2 Kings 12:2. It says, Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years Jehoiada the priest instructed him. This is 2 Kings chapter 12 and verse 2. So far, so good. They were doing well. This boy was rescued, and he was heir to the throne. And so he was guided by his mentor, the high priest at that point of time. And when he grew up also, under the guidance of his mentor, he brought about reforms and change and peace in the whole land. So far, so good. But there was a turnaround. When he was in his mid-30s or late-30s, there was a turnaround in his life. Now, what happened was that it says in 2 Chronicles 24:17-19, that after the death of Jehoiada, this high priest, his mentor, died at the age of 130. And when he died, there was a change. There was a turnaround. It says, after the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah came and paid homage to the king. And he listened to them. They abandoned the temple of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and worshipped Asherah poles and idols. Because of their guilt, God's anger came upon Judah and Jerusalem. Although the Lord sent prophets to the people to bring them back to him, and though they testified against them, they would not listen. So everything was going on well. As long as Jehoiada, his mentor, was there, the high priest was alive. As soon as he died, he moved away from the ways of the Lord and listened to his officials, abandoned the Lord's temple, brought in evil practices. And worse was yet to come. He was involved in the murder of Jehoiada's son. He was involved in the murder of the son whose father had saved his life. He was involved. He had a hand in that murder. It says in 2 Chronicles 24:20-22, it says, then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, son of Jehoiada, the priest. He stood before the people and said, this is what God says. Why do you disobey the Lord's commands? You will not prosper. Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has forsaken you. But they plotted against him. And by the order of the king, they stoned him to death in the courtyard of the Lord's temple. King Joash did not remember the kindness Zechariah's father Jehoiada had shown him, but killed his son, who said as he lay dying, may the Lord see this and call you to account. So he had a hand in murdering his the son of his savior, one who had saved his life. And finally, Joash died a very tragic death. 2 Chronicles 24, 23 to 25 says, at the turn of the year, the army of Aram marched against Joash. It invaded invaded Judah and Jerusalem and killed all the leaders of the people. They sent all the plunder to their king in Damascus. Although the Aramean army had come with only a few men, the Lord delivered into their hands a much larger army because Judah had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. Judgment was executed on Joash. When the Arameans withdrew, they left Joash severely wounded. His officials conspired against him for murdering the son of Jehoiada the priest, and they killed him in his bed. So he died and was buried in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. Why? Why? Why did this happen? Why did this turnaround happen? When everything was going well, when he had this mentor, he knew the ways of God. He knew, you know, that he had to walk in obedience to God. He had seen the favor of God. He had seen the peace of God in that land. You know, he was supposed to be destroyed. As a young boy, a year old, he was supposed to be killed in cold blood. But the man, the high priest, saved his life. And he did well till about 30 years of age. But when the mentor died, there was a complete turnaround. There was a complete turnaround in his life. Why? The only answer is that his conviction, he had no inner convictions. And his conviction was shallow. His conviction was shallow. Though he had seen the hand of God, the favor of God, the blessing of God, yet he did not do things from deep down within his heart. There was only external confirmation. As long as there was somebody to help him, guide him, he did it for their sake. He did it to please them and to please God. It never came out of his own heart. A deep conviction from within to worship God and to give God his whole. And so Joash confirmed externally. The values did not penetrate internally. It did not. The values of Jehoiada the priest did not become the values of Joash. It did not get passed on. And it was not deposited deep down in his heart. There's only an external confirmation. The Bible says, and the verse is written over there for us, the next page, Psalm 32, 8 and 9. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by a bit and a bridle, or they will not come to you. God is saying, I do not want you to be like a horse or the mule, because they have to be externally controlled. And so, unless there is an external control, they will not abide by what is right. And so, they have to have that external pressure. And so, then only they will change their ways. And God says, we cannot be like that. We need to have a conviction that is deep within us. And our actions should follow that deep conviction. And not a shallow commitment. And not not an obedience that comes from a shallow heart. I want to ask each one of us. You know, sometimes we're doing really well. Now here in this place, we have many things happening. The cell training is going on. The foundation course is going to begin next Sunday. We have the Discovering My Ministry. So as long as there are a lot of things organized and these activities, so we're doing well. We're doing well. And we're doing great. We're growing in the Lord. But when we are away from this place, say we are taken to another place for a couple of months. What kind of mode? Here we are in an active mode. And there, when we move away, if we're not careful, if the conviction is not coming from deep within, then we'll go into a sleep mode. Completely. Throw off everything. Everything gone for a six. But here, we are controlled by activities. And we cannot be people like that. We're going to have the memory verse test. If there was no memory verse test, would we have memorized? I don't know. Maybe some of us would. Some of us wouldn't. Because that conviction has to come from within. That, Lord, I need to know your word. When I go to pray for somebody, I need your word in my heart. I need your word on my lips so that I can pray, you know, in using your words and seeing the power and authority that is released through your word. Because it's not our prayer that carries power. It is his word that comes like a double-edged sword. You know, when we speak to people, when we counsel people, you know, we can give them advice, good advice. But do we remember the word? Do we remember the word? And bring, you know, in that situation, God's word. An example. A story at that point of time. And so, see the hearts being changed. So, we need to change from that mode. Where we do things because there are all these props that are supporting us. Once the props are removed, then we collapse. We cannot be people like that. I attend one of the cell meetings kind of regularly. And on that Wednesday that when I attend, before the cell meeting, I get two SMSs saying that 7 o'clock is the meeting. Do attend sharp on time. Two SMSs I get. And sometimes cell leaders come and say, whenever we don't send SMS, then people think it's a holiday. That means, like, we have to be pressurized. We have to be told, this is a cell meeting. Every Wednesday we meet. Do come. We have to be encouraged. We have to, follow up. Follow up. Our own people, we have to follow up. But that value of fellowship in the middle of the week, have we realized that? Has that gone deep within us? That this is something for me, for my growth, for my maturity, for my discipleship. Where a place where I'm supported in prayer, a place where I'm encouraged, a place where I can contribute. Or it's only because sometimes we get angry. You know, why is he sending SMSs? Why is he calling and following me? Just leave me alone. No, has that value gone deep within? See, somebody has said that according to the church survey, they say that if we only have a Sunday diet, if we survive on a Sunday diet and do not go for any midweek meeting, then in a matter of 2 years, we can backslide. If we survive only on a Sunday diet and we have no fellowship, no input during the week, then we can backslide over a period of 2 years. It's true. It's true. It's good to worship as a church, but it's good to worship as a small group where you see the power of God in that small group also. I want to ask us that question, that how is our heart? How is our conviction? And we can grade ourselves. How shallow are we? Very bad is 10. And okay is less than 5. So how much support do I need? And so do things come from deep within? So that's the question that we need to ask. Now we're glad that Julius and Ruby, when they've gone to Karwar, they've not just settled down. I saw the pictures. It's a lovely place. Karwar, that whole place, that Nevinagar place, is a lovely place. You can just comfortably settle down and have a happy married life forever. The story you can have, that can be a story. But they want to do something for God. They have started a small cell group. Few people. And they like somebody coming over. And so we've done that a couple of times now. They want to do something. So otherwise, when we go on our own, everything collapses. But there needs to be a hunger to do something for God. We have a couple who have gone to Jamshedpur, Sujit and Maya, and they have started a foundation course over there. There are about 15 people attending over there. From April, they want to start an evening meeting in their house. Praise God. Because all that God has given us, we have to share that with others. We have to be people of influence. It has to come from deep within. Okay, so how shallow are we? The third kind of heart is an anxious heart. An anxious heart. It says that other seed fell among thorns which grew up and choked the plants. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. I think the key word there the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth. Maybe we can just underline that. That kind of completely chokes the seed of God in our lives. I'm thinking about Judas Iscariot. And he was a man who was one of the disciples of Jesus, chosen by Jesus. He saw, he heard the preaching of Jesus. He saw miracles of Jesus. Maybe he would have done miracles as he prayed for people. Maybe he would have baptized people. So, and he was with the Son of God himself. But somewhere he was restless. Somewhere there was an anxiety. Somewhere, like, he was not settled in his heart. There was, that security was not there from within. There was always, this is not it. Even though he was with the Son of God, even then he felt insecure. He felt, I need to have something. And so his deception and his deception was so great because of his anxieties that he was willing to deceive and cheat his own master, the Son of God, for 30 pieces of silver. Did not recognize, blinded by that deception, because there was a restlessness in his heart. Because the anxiety was there about the future. Whatever. I'm not secure in this place. And I'm not secure with these people. And I'm thinking that this man is with the right kind of people in the right place at the right time, but with the wrong motive. What is the wrong motive? Everything is right. But in his heart, something is not right. Something is not at rest. We need to look at our hearts. Judas, if we see, he was a man. His desire for wealth completely deceived him. Though he was the Son of God, yet he was not secure. His surrender was not complete. His surrender was not complete. He had not given his life completely over to God. And not living a life of faith. He had left everything. But still, there was something that he was holding on to, unwilling to let go. And we need to be careful how we live our lives. We need to be careful. It is said that a survey was done to find out the average person's anxiety and what is it focused on. And the survey says it's focused on 40% of the things that will never happen. That means we think about 40% of the things that will never happen. 30% of things about the past that cannot be changed. So that is also 12% things about criticism by others, most of which are untrue. So we keep thinking about that also. 10% about health, which gets worse with stress. Because when you're anxious, it's the same cycle. So it makes us more and more anxious and more stressed out. 8% about real problems that can be faced. Only 8%. 92% are just anxieties. Just anxieties. We need to, you know, be secure. One couple, like this lady, was very anxious many years, like the anxiety. And what was she anxious about? That her house will be burgled. Yeah. Years together she was thinking, what will happen? Some thief will come and somebody will rob and we'll lose our things. And also she would be riddled with that for years together. So one day, as they were sleeping, there was some noise downstairs. They were sleeping out. There was some noise downstairs. So the husband said, wife said, tells the husband, go down and see what had happened. So the husband goes down and finds the burglar there. And he's, you know, just about to take some things. So the husband tells the burglar, I'm pleased to meet you. Why don't you come upstairs? My wife has been waiting for you for the last 10 years. Please come. Come. Wife has been waiting for 10. Anxiety that something will happen. We want to look at our hearts this evening. We want to ask ourselves, are we settled in this issue of money, of finances? Are we settled? Do we see that as a gift? Do we see that as a resource that God has blessed us with? Or do we see that as something that we are chasing after? Are we in control, or is money controlling us? Are finances controlling us? We need to ask ourselves. We need to ask ourselves, are we at rest regarding our finances? How good is our giving? How good is our giving? Because that's one thing that will defeat the enemy on this battleground. How good is our giving? And so we will defeat the schemes of the enemy. We need to look at ourselves and see, like when we're working in our company, what is our motive for working in this company? Do we just wait and long for, you know, the 31st or what, a 30th, so that we get our paycheck? Or do we look for to contribute? Do we look for to influence? Do we look for to grow in skill? And do we look at, you know, our company as an opportunity that God has placed and people that God has placed around us that we may be a blessing to? What, when we shift companies, what is our motive? 30% hike? That's what we're looking for. Or something else is our motive. When we maybe shift homes, maybe buy a new vehicle, what is our motive? Is finance our only motive? Is status our only motive? We need to look at our hearts this evening. Let's just also do a heart check on this aspect. How anxious are we? Very bad? 10? How anxious? Less than 5? Slightly better. How anxious are we? Now, we want to look at the last heart. Instead of putting good heart, I said we need to have a brave heart. Let's have a brave heart. That's what like God looks for. Heart of faith. A heart that is devoted. It says, still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what is sown. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is a man who hears the word, understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So this is a brave heart, a good heart. I think about the story of Jehoshaphat that is said in the Bible. And it says about Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 17, 3-6. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because in his early years he walked in the ways of his father David, and David had followed. He did not consult the Baals, but sought the God of his father and followed his commands. This is 2 Chronicles 17, 3-6. He sought the God of his father and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel. The Lord established the kingdom under his control, and all Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat so that he had great wealth and honor. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. I like that. It says his heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places and Asherah poles from Judah. If you look at the life of Jehoshaphat, he did commit 2 blunders. He consulted people he shouldn't have consulted, and he brought God's judgment at that point of time. But overall, generally, that he led a good life, a life that was devoted and faithful to God, a life of obedience, and he saw the blessing of God. He was a man who followed the ways of the Lord. He took a stand against evil practices and exalted the name of the Lord. He taught people how to rever and to worship God. He sought the Lord during wars. Like, he would not depend on the strength of his chariots or his army or his soldiers or his strategies. He would always seek the Lord. If the Lord's prophet would say, go and march against this enemy, go and march against this army, he would do that. And if the Lord's prophet would say, no, you know, stop here, he would stop over there. He was a man who was guided by God's word. And he was a man who brought about prosperity in the land of Israel. So here is a man we see, like we see some characteristics of a brave heart. And a man who has a brave heart, or a person who has a brave heart, loves God and his word. He lives by faith, not by sight. This is a person who lives for others, for the good of others. And also a person who looks for a heavenly reward and not just an earthly reward. A heavenly reward. That is a brave heart. Let's just grade ourselves. Okay? Not that we're going to fall into the pit of pool of crocodiles. There's a loves God and his word, lives by faith, lives for others, and looks for a heavenly reward. Those are the characteristics of a brave heart. Can we grade ourselves? I want to say, you know, as we just close this evening, I want to say that all these hearts are fine, and we need to see where we stand in this respect. But I think a change will come when we look at the person of Jesus. Because He is a man who has the right heart. And we need to have an encounter with Him. And we need to ask God this evening, Lord, I want to have an encounter with You. I want to have Your heart. And if you look at Jesus, did He have a hard heart? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. This woman was caught in the act of adultery when she was brought, and the teachers of the law said that, you know, according to the law, she needs to be stoned to death. He said, let the man who has never sinned lift up the first stone. And everybody left that place. And He asked this woman, was there not anyone to condemn you? And she said, sir, no one. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin. Leave. He's a man of compassion. A man who had a sensitive heart, a compassionate heart. Was He a shallow person? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. When He was tempted in the wilderness, when He was hungry, when He had fasted for 40 days, when He was alone, the most vulnerable period of His life, He did not yet give in to that temptation that the enemy tempted Him to. Did not take any of the offers of the enemy. When He was alone on the cross, the dying, bleeding, in pain, agony, rejection, yet at the cross, He blessed those who had hurt Him, those who had put Him on the cross. And He said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was not a shallow man. Lived according to His convictions. Lived His last breath in obedience to God's word. Was He an anxious man? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, He looked to bless. He looked to bless. So the 5 loaves and 2 fish were cut down, broken, and 5,000 were fed. When the people said, do you pay tax? He called the fish in the sea, and the fish came with a coin to pay His tax. Absolutely secure in the power of God and in what God could do. Absolutely secure. And we need to, this evening, even as we close, let's ask Jesus to touch us. Embrace the heart of Jesus, because Jesus can change our lives. Let's just pray. And ask the choir to just come up. And if we could just sing the words of the song, Change My Heart, O Lord.
Change my heart, oh God.
Lord. We ask you, Lord, to come and touch us, Lord. Lord, we want to confess and say that there are areas in our hearts that are really hard, Lord. And we have seen you speaking to us, Lord. And some of those areas are untouched, Lord. We refuse to change. Lord, we've just walked our ways, Lord. This evening, Lord, we want to give those areas into your hands, Lord. Lord, break that hardness in our lives. Lord, make it soft by your word, Lord Jesus. We come to your cross this evening, Lord. And we know at the cross, this divine exchange is possible, Lord. Lord, you took our hard-heartedness, Lord. You took our shallow faith, Lord. You took, Lord, our anxieties on the cross, Lord. And Lord, you blessed us with a new heart, Lord. And we want to come to the cross this evening. And we want to say, Lord, give us a new heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to break free from our shallow convictions, Lord Jesus. From our shallow, Lord, commitments, Lord. And we want to grow in you, Father God. Grow in spiritual maturity, Lord. Grow in wisdom, Lord, to please you, Lord Jesus. So that irrespective of where we are, Lord, and what our circumstance is, Lord, Lord, our actions will be predictable. You would know that we would walk in your ways, Lord. We would be like Job, Lord Jesus, of whom you said, go and test this man. Go and test this man. We want to grow in you, Lord Jesus. This evening, Lord, we ask you, Father God, that Lord, give us a heart that is at rest, Lord Jesus. Give us a heart that is secure in you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we do not want the deceitfulness of wealth, Lord, or the worries of this life to block, Lord, your goodness in our lives, Lord. To block what you have in store for us, Lord Jesus. We want to just lay it aside, Lord Jesus, and live a life of faith, Lord. Holding on to you, Father God. Whether we know or not, good things are in store or not, Lord, we will choose to walk with you, Father God. Because we know that you are a good God, Lord. You are the Ancient of Days, Lord. You are the ever-faithful God, Lord. Goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. That's what you promise us, Lord. We want to say we will remain secure always, Lord, in your presence, Lord, with you, Lord Jesus. We commit ourselves into your hands, Lord. Change us. Help us to grow, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Maybe you can take some time to fill in the feedback slip. And I think a cup of tea will be served for us. And you can just fellowship with one another also. God bless you.